Psalm chapter 91. You know, we find several shadows in the Bible. You know, a shadow is usually what we would think is something that's not real. But it is the picture of something that is real. Something is there, but we can't touch it. You can't touch a shadow. You can't grab a hold of it, but yet whoever's casting the shadow is very real. When you look in the Bible and you find out about shadows, you would, of course, run into Psalm 23, would you not? Yeah. David writes to us and talks to us about the shadow of death. Yeah. And certainly many of our brethren have walked that path, and if Jesus doesn't come, we'll walk that path as well. And that shadow of death, though the shadow, you can't grab a hold of death, you can't touch it, it'll be very real when it comes. But, you know, someone said, I remember the old preacher when I first was in the ministry, and he was teaching me how to do funerals. And I can hear him say in the back of my mind, "Yea, though I walk through the shadow of death." He said, "You know, a shadow never hurt anybody." I never forgot that. A shadow can't beat you up. The shadow can't harm you. He said, that's what's true about us. If the Lord's our shepherd, the shadow of death can't harm you. It's just a dark thing that you pass through. It's a shadow you pass through. You know, the book of Psalms not only talks about a shadow of death, but it talks about the shadow of life. Not only is there a shadow in death, there's a shadow in our daily lives. He tells us in Psalm 102 in verse 11, "My days are like a shadow that declineth." So the writer also tells us that just our lives pass away as a shadow. He tells us in the book of Ecclesiastes the same thing. He says in Ecclesiastes chapter 6 and verse number 12, "For who knoweth what is good for man in this life? All the days of his vain life, which he spendeth as a shadow." Your life's like a shadow. Death is a shadow. And yet there's another shadow that we need to emphasize, whether it be in life or in death, and it's in Psalm 91. And the Bible reads like this in verse 1. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night." Boy, that we could live there, church. "Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night." How? Got to get under that shadow. "Nor for the arrow that flieth by day." 6. "Nor for the," what's that word? You mean, preacher, I don't have to be afraid of the pestilence? Y'all in the Bible with me? If you're under the shadow, you don't have to be afraid of the pestilence. "Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction." A lot of destruction going on in the world. He said, just get under my shadow and don't be afraid. "Nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee." What is the Bible talking about, this shadow of God? What's it for? Look at Psalm chapter 17. Psalm chapter 17, as you just heard in the psalm, or the song, "A shadow is a place where you can hide. I've found a hiding place." You ever hid in the shadows where nobody can see you? And maybe you're playing a game, maybe playing a hide-and-seek thing, but as long as you could keep out of everybody's sight and stay back in the shadows, they didn't know you were there. You know, all of us are going to need a place to hide. Don't be such a big person or such a self-made individual that you think you don't need God to run and hide to Him, because you'll need that in your life. He said in Psalm chapter 17, now this is David writing. Now you know how great a man David was. He was a warrior. I mean, David wasn't afraid of a fight. I mean, when nobody's fighting, David said, I'll go fight. It doesn't matter how big the guy is. I'm ready. Let's go. David was never afraid of war. He was never afraid of being outnumbered. And yet, this is what this great warrior said. This bloody man, as God called him. In Psalm 17, the Bible says in verse number 8, David writes, keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Hide me. God, I can't hide. I can't hide out from other people trying to destroy me, such as Saul or whoever it is. I can't hide from those that hate me in any other way, except I've got to run to you and hide under your shadow, under the shadow of your wings, almost like the picture of, you know, those little baby chicks hiding under their mother's wing. Have you ever found a place to hide in God's shadow? To hide when in the time of the world's noise, to be able to hide where there's peace and quiet under the shadow of God, where nobody else can see you? He says, hide me, Lord, hide me. You know, he even had to run to God when God's own anger. You know, when you know God can get mad at you, and you can go hide and run under his wings. I tell you what, and that was true about David's life. I'll give personal testimony. Y'all won't believe that little woman over there, amen, could do a switch dance all the way around in a circle. But you know what I learned as a young boy? When you get whipped, the closer I'd get to mom, you know, the easier it'll be. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I see a couple of witnesses there. You know why? Because if you're way out there, boy, they can get a run and go. You know what I'm saying? They can wind up and whang. But if you're right there close to them, you know, you can't get very much going right like that. You know, even if God's angry with you, if you'll just get a little bit closer to him, you can hide under the shadow of his wings. David learned that lesson. He ran to God. Do you need a place to hide? Look at Psalm 57, Psalm chapter 57 and verse 1. Psalm 57 and verse 1, the Bible says, be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. Preacher, what do I do when the calamities surround me? You go run and hide under God's shadow. You know what some people like to do? They like to do what the Bible speaks of in Psalm 55. They like to fly away. They like to run away. Let me help you. You know, through your problems and through your difficulties and your calamities of life, don't run away. Don't flee away. Go hide in God. That's exactly what Dr. Weigel did. He didn't see the end of the road. He didn't know what he could do. So what did he do? He just ran and hid under the shadow of God. He hid in God's mercy. He hid himself in God's grace. He hid himself in God's presence. I think much of that could be the answer to the sadness of our world. You need to run and hide in God in the midst of sadness. Maybe in the midst of things not working out like you thought it should work out. Maybe in the midst of depression. Do you have a place in God that you can run to and hide in Him? There's another hymn in our hymn book. It's called Hiding in Thee. Hiding in Thee. Thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. You ever had a place to hide as a kid and you felt so safe because you know nobody could see you? You know, some of these people in their houses, they're probably pretty smart, I don't know. But they built these rooms in their house. I don't even know what they're called. These panic rooms. There you go. I'll come to your house since I know you got one there. And if somebody breaks in, they just go in there and they press the button or move the bookcase or do whatever, and they hide in that place. You know, when you're hidden well, it doesn't matter what's happening out there. You're hidden, and they don't know where you are, and they can't get to you. Oh, that we would look at the presence of our God that way. This little hymn here in the hymn book, Ira Sankey put this tune together. He said, "Oh, safe to the rock that is higher than I, my soul in its conflicts and sorrows would fly. So sinful, so weary, thine, thine would I be, thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. In the calm of the noontide, in sorrow's lone hour, in times when temptation casts o'er me its power, in the tempest of life, on its wide heaving sea, thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. How oft in the conflict, when pressed by the foe, I have fled to my refuge and breathed out my woe. How often when trials like sea billows roll, have I hidden in thee, O thou rock of my soul. Hiding in thee, O blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee." I wonder tonight, have you found a place to run to God to? And as a little child, just get down under his presence and find yourself to be safe. Because the book says in Psalm 18, he's my rock and he's my fortress and he's my deliverer and he's my God and he's my strength. He's the horn of my salvation, my high tower. He's the place where you can run to. Oh, how many times if people would just run to God. Hide in God. Just snuggle up in his presence and shut out the world and forget about the calamity and get in the presence of God and just hide there with him. You know, you remember that little Jewish girl, Anne Frank. You remember how long she hid from those Germans? And I mean, she would be certain death and all that. She just hid back there. I think there's a biography about, wasn't it called A Hiding Place or something like that? Now look, everybody in here has troubles. You're going to have some more. But the question is, have you learned to go hide in God? Have you learned to get a hold of God and get in the presence of God and just stay there with him and get up under his wing and snuggle up? You know, I remember, go to Psalm 36, I remember my dad. Many times in my life as a little boy, I would be, you know, a fearful situation. And I'd just stay close to him, you know. I remember as a little boy, we'd go into big cities, you know. He'd take us up to New York City and place like that. And as a little boy, I'd just be scared to death of all those crowds, people I never saw before, you know. I'd just stay next to his shadow. As long as I'm in his shadow, I knew it'd be all right. Because, you see, he was a lot bigger than I am. A lot bigger than I am. I remember being so afraid. We drove, we got lost in Brooklyn at night. That's a really good place to get lost with an Alabama tag in 1970. I would let Dad get up and testify about that a while, but yeah, you talk about fearful. People were throwing stuff at the car. We had a cherry red Ford. I mean, it looked like it glowed in the dark going through Brooklyn, New York, you know. People were throwing things at us, had that Heart of Dixie tag on the back there. You talk about afraid. You know what? I got down the bottom of, and Dad said, "Get down the floorboard." So I just got down the floorboard of the car. I mean, they had roadblocks and everything. But you know, there was something in my heart. I just trust, listen. I just trusted my dad. He's bigger than I was. I mean, he had a baseball bat. You know, in my brain, I thought, well, man, Dad's big. He's over 6 foot tall. He's got a baseball bat. We'll be all right. That's the way a young one looks about it. My dad's got a gun. You know, you look back on that, you say, well, you know, they got a lot more guns. But as a child, I just trusted in my Father. He says that in Psalm 36. Would you look at it? Psalm 36, verse 7. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. A shadow is a place you can hide and find refuge, and a shadow is a place where you can put your trust. As we mentioned, those little chicks under their wings. And we need to have that trust in the shadow of our God, that God casts a big enough shadow in our lives, that God is real enough to us, even though we can't handle Him and we can't touch Him. But we believe in our Father, and we believe that His shadow and His strength and His power, because He's Almighty God, we're going to hide in the shadow of the Almighty. He's bigger than the world. He's bigger than my problem. My dad will take care of it. I got a big Father. That's what I thought as a child. You know, I, as a child, didn't think anybody could beat up my dad. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Well, that wasn't true, but that's the way I thought about it. And that was, you know what? It calmed my soul. It helped me to trust. As long as I'm with the dad, as long as I'm in his shadow, as long as I'm close enough to him. You know, to be under a shadow, you got to be close enough for that shadow to cover you. But Dad's bigger than me. You think God's big enough to handle your calamities? Could you trust Him? Could you trust Him? He says, and Jesus said to us, He said, and will not God clothe you, O ye of little faith? Is God big enough for you to trust in the shadow, in the shadow of His wings? You know, as a child, I didn't worry about anything. I remember when we got that first stupid little video game. It was just ping pong, you know. I mean, you just move. I thought that was great. And I'm in there playing that little stupid video game, that little ping pong thing. I didn't know anything about the electric bill. I didn't know anything about the oil crisis. Boy, I'm dating myself on that. I remember as a kid, they were lined up. I don't remember. That was 70-something. I don't remember. 76, Mr. Peanut. I mean, President Carter was in charge. And just as far as you could see, there were all those cars lined up. Yeah. And you know what I'm doing in the back seat? I'm just doing my thing, man. I don't care. I'm not worried about what's going to happen. Why? I'm trusting Him to pay the bills. Matter of fact, I don't even know what the bills are. I don't even care what the bills are. Everybody understand? When you were a kid, did you know? Did you say, oh, Dad, how are we going to pay the mortgage? You didn't think about the mortgage. You want to run outside and play. You know why? Because you trusted. I mean, they were still real, were they not? The problems were real. The bills were real. I'm so glad as I grew up, we had sometimes problems in the church. My dad, he was you know, one of the men that the pastor could always lean on for help. Man, looking back, I was a kid. I didn't know. I mean, you talk about some serious problems happening in the church. Well, I never knew about it. People would come knock on the door, and they'd be bawling and squalling or mad, and Dad would take them in the other room, you know. And I didn't say, oh, what's going to happen? You know what I said? Well, Dad will take care of it. I wasn't all worried about it. Oh, is the church going to fold? No, I never thought about that. I never thought about any of the bills. I didn't ask him, Dad, do we have insurance on the house? I didn't care. When we got in the car, and I didn't say, Dad, now, did you pay the car insurance? What if we have a wreck? I didn't do that. Now, listen, come here. I'll make an illustration on this. You know what we do sometimes? We nitpick every little thing. Oh, what's going to happen with this? And it's almost like we're going to God and saying, God, did you pay the car insurance? God, are you sure we're going to meet the mortgage this week? Now, I'm using it in the sense of physical thing, but we can do that in spiritual things of our heart. God, are you sure you got all this taken care of in life? know what the book says? That God's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He's got all that we need for everything. Couldn't I just trust Him as a child? Just get under His shadow, get in His presence. You know why we don't trust Him? Because we don't get in His presence. We don't get in His shadow often enough. Are you worried? You say, preacher, I know you've been burdened about the country and the election. Yes, but I'm still going to leave it to God. I know God's a big God. I'm going to pray like everything depends upon me, but I'm going to trust God knowing that everything depends on Him, you see. Are you worried? You worried about something? Why don't you go to God's shadow a while? You know what the Bible says some people do? Take your Bible there to Isaiah 30 real quick. And with your other hand, Ezekiel 31. Ezekiel 31 and Isaiah 30. Some people choose to trust in the shadow of others instead of the shadow of God. The Bible said in Psalm 20 verse 7, He said, you know, some trust in chariots. Some trust in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Look, everybody trusts in something. Tonight, you may trust the Republican Party or President Trump. That's a very foolish thing to do. You may trust in your 401k or the dollar or the might of the American military. That'd be a very foolish thing to do. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 30, look at verse number 2. Isaiah 30 verse 2, that walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. God says, don't trust in any other shadow. Don't trust in any other place but me. Don't trust in your own ability. Don't trust in Egypt and Pharaoh. Look at Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 31. Ezekiel chapter 31 is a prophecy about the Assyrian. If you don't know the prophetical import of that, the Assyrian is a picture of the Antichrist in the Bible. And the Bible said in Ezekiel chapter 31 and verse 3, behold, the Assyrian was a cedar in Lebanon with fair branches and with a shadowing shroud and of an high stature, and his top was among the thick boughs. The waters made him great. The deep set him up on high with her rivers running round about his plants and sent out her little rivers unto all the trees of the field. Therefore his height was exalted above all the trees of the field, and his boughs were multiplied and his branches became long because of the multitude of waters when he shot forth. All the fowls of heaven made their nests in his boughs. And under his branches did all the beasts of the field bring forth their young. Look at it. And under his shadow dwelt all great nations. Look at verse 12. And strangers, the terrible of the nations, have cut him off and have left him upon the mountains and in all the valleys. His branches are fallen and his boughs are broken by all the rivers of the land. And all the people of the earth are gone down from his shadow and have left him. Verse 17. They also went down into hell with him. Do you see that? They also went down into hell with him unto them that be slain with the sword, and they that were his arm that dwelt under his shadow in the midst of the heathen. Here is the illustration of the Antichrist. The Bible says that one day everybody's going to trust in his shadow. Everybody's going to trust in his ability. Everybody's going to think he has the answer for the world. Nobody has the answer for the world but the God who made it. And no matter who comes up with the answers, no matter who comes up with the plan, God says don't trust in the shadow. The Assyrian shadow, oh, they were prosperous. Oh, they looked like they were a place of safety. All the fowls came and got under his branches and thought they were safe under his shadow. All those nations, and yet then they went down to hell with him. Oh, the folly of trusting in one or trusting in a shadow that leads to hell. God says, I got a better shadow. Won't you come under my shadow? Won't you trust me? The shadow of God is a place to hide. The shadow of God is a place where you can put your trust. Thirdly, look at Psalm 63. The shadow of God is a third thing. Psalm chapter 63, the Bible says in verse 7. Psalm 63, verse 7, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. The shadow of God is a place where you can rejoice. It's a place where you can rest. This individual, this Psalm of David here, he's remembering God on his bed, verse 6. He's meditating on him in the night watches. And while he gets closer to God and thinks about God, he begins to rejoice in the God of his salvation. The Bible tells us the Song of Solomon is such a beautiful picture of the bride of Christ. It's a beautiful picture also of Israel's relationship to God, and it reads like this. He said in Song of Solomon chapter 2, verse 1, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. He said, I got under the shadow of the one I loved, and it was a place of rest. It was a place of rejoicing. You ever, in a hot day, got under a shade tree? Now, you know, the sun's still shining, right? It's still just as hot. But if you can just get under that shade tree, it feels so much better. If you can get under the shadow of the tree, isn't that right? It doesn't change the circumstance of the day, what I'm telling you. If you could just get in the presence of God, though the temperature didn't change and the sun didn't change and the conditions of the world didn't change, it'll feel so much better in God's shadow than it will outside. He said, I sat down under his shadow with great delight. He gives that illustration in the book of Isaiah, not of a tree, but as of a rock. He said in Isaiah chapter 32, he said, a king shall reign in righteousness. And he said in verse 2 of Isaiah 32, and a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. How long has it been since you've rested in the Lord? You remember Jonah got so mad. You remember that? I mean, he was mad at God. Maybe somebody here is mad at God. He was mad at people. Maybe somebody's here mad at somebody. He's mad at the Ninevites. I mean, you know you're mad at people when you want them all to go to hell. Right? I mean, you got something wrong with if you want people to go to hell. Isn't that right? You talk about a problem in this preacher's heart. He wants all these people to go to hell. Greatest revival a prophet ever preached. You'd think he'd come puffed up like a peacock about all the people that got saved under my ministry. Mr. Jonah, can we interview you? You just had the greatest revival known in the history of Assyria. From the king all the way down to the puppy dogs, they all got right with God. Every one of them. And you stopped, and the judgment of God stopped. Tell us about it, Jonah. What do you think about that? Tell us how you did it. I wish those people had all died and go to hell. You got problems. He's mad at God for sending him down there. But the weird thing about the book of Jonah, in Jonah chapter 4, when he got under a shadow, he felt good. It was like all his anger at God and all his anger at the people just disappeared. Oh, I feel good. I'm under the shadow of this gourd that's, God had it come up, you know, and the gentle winds blow. I sort of in my mind, I picture of an old southern gentleman, you know, on his porch, rocking on his porch, sipping on a glass of tea, you know. He's in the shadow of his porch. You know, there's a reason we put porches out there. We want to get out from under the heat, out from under the shadow. And Jonah's under there. Oh, feels so good. And the Bible said he was so pleased. He was so glad. He was so glad for the gourd because it just felt so good in the shadow. His prejudice wasn't gone. His anger wasn't gone. His bitterness wasn't gone. His heart wasn't even right with God still. But oh, it just felt so good under that shadow because the heat's not beating on him anymore. And of course, God took that away and talked to him. Let me ask you a question. I don't know what's wrong. I don't know what problems there are. But this is what I'm telling you. If you'll get under God's shadow, it'll feel so much better there. Even if nothing changes, if you'll just get in the presence of God. And I can hear the voices in the back of my head saying, yeah, preacher, you just tell us if we all get in the presence of God, everything will be all right. No, everything may not be all right, but it'll feel a lot better. Yes, sir. You'll be able to get through it. They'll be rejoicing there. Why are the people of God not rejoicing? They're not under the shadow. They're not under the shadow of the Almighty where they're finding rest. Rest for their soul. Jesus said, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Doesn't mean your whole life changes, but what I'm going to do for you, if you'll just come up here and get close to me and get under my shadow and get in the yoke with me, you'll have rest. Rest for your soul and rest for your body and rest for your mind. Just come close. I'll give you rest. You got rest tonight. I use the illustration. I can't get away from those biblical illustrations. There's Paul and Silas in the fast in the stocks in that prison house. Testify, Paul. Isn't it terrible? It's dark. Hey, they didn't have electric lights. How'd you like to be? Some people afraid of the dark. How about at midnight? You think that's pretty dark? Think that's dark in the cell? Yeah. I tell you what, I don't like rats. I bet they were in that jail cell that night, brother. I bet they're everywhere, not just rats, bugs, all kind of stuff. I don't like bugs either. Can you imagine them crawling all over you? He's down in there at midnight. When midnight, things start crawling on you. The Philippines, man, I went to sleep in the Philippines in that pastor's house. And when the lights went off, stuff started going all over me. I jumped up swinging at everybody, amen, turned on the light. Just bugs, and then they ran and hid. As soon as you turn the light back off, here come the bugs. I took the sheet and I put it over my head. And I could feel the bugs running up and down the sheet. You know what I wasn't doing? I wouldn't say, well, praise the Lord. Couldn't sleep very long, went through the house, found the place where the bathroom was, couldn't see very well, turned on the light, and rats just running everywhere. Well, you know when you turn the lights off, they're still there. Yeah, but I can't see them. Like in Romania, went down, we're cleaning out the basement. I picked up, I said, now there could be a rat, I don't know. What an omen. Benjamin picked up one side. I picked up the other side out of a tote box, ran around it. Went all the way up there, came all the way down here. I was screaming at my boy, shoot me, kill me, do something. I don't like that. Listen, I'm going to tell you, in the prison house of Thessalonica, in the prison house of Philippi, come on, sometimes, guys, we read those stories and we just sort of... cleanse them like there's the reality's not there, you know. There are bugs, there are rats, it stinks, they're cold, and they're in chains, they're hurting, their future's uncertain, and all of a sudden you hear, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then somebody chimes in and you got a duet. And they start singing, what happened, Paul? What happened, Silas? Did the chains fall off? No, they're still here. What happened? Did the bugs quit running and the rats quit racing? What happened? No, it's all still here. What happened, Paul? There's somebody else in here. There's somebody else in this jail cell. And the closer I get to this one that's standing beside me in this jail cell, the happier I get and the more restful my soul is and the more at peace I am in my heart. And I just got to sing. You don't sing, brother, unless you've got something down inside of your heart. And there wasn't strobe lights and there wasn't the right key and there wasn't the piano and the organ accompaniment. They were just men with their voices. Because they found in that prison house the shadow of the Almighty and it gave them rest. You need some rest? How long has it been since you've rejoiced? How long has it been since you just reared back and said hallelujah for the cross and thank you, Jesus? He's a great rock in a weary land. We ought to find His shadow. We ought to be motivated to get closer to God because it's a place where we can rejoice. He said in Isaiah 25 verse 4, Thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat. When the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall, you won't know maybe that God's all you need till He's all you have, but He is all you need. He's all we need. The shadow of God's a place to hide. It's a place where you can put your trust. It's a place where you can rest and rejoice. Would you go back to our text in Psalm 91? I see a fourth thing. The shadow of God is a secret place. And I would say this is makes it a place of closeness. He says in Psalm 91 verse 1, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It reminds me of Jesus' words, abide in me. Stay close to me. Get closer. Get in the secret place. It reminds me of Matthew 6 in verse 5. And when thou prayest, don't be like the hypocrites. When thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. What we need to do to get to that place of that shadow of God, we need to get closer to God. You know, look, you can be in church and not be close to God. Are you close to God? You say, well, I want to be. No, if you want to be, you will be. You say, how do I know that? Draw nigh to God and He will what? Is that true? You know what that means? We're all just as close to God as we want to be. Have you been drawing nigh to Him? Have you been running to the Lord? I talked to Brother Lutrick. He's a preacher out of Shady Acres when I was down there preaching missions conference. And he about died with all this, with this virus. And he was in ICU for so long. And Brother Dion would understand this, how they were turning him over back and forth and all this. And I don't know how many weeks and weeks and weeks he was there, but he told me a lot of things. You talk about the shadow of death, he was right there, and it looked like he was about to cross over. He could hear the people in the room talking about it. And it was very real. It was very real that was it for Brother Lutrick. No more, that's all. But you know what he said? He said through all that, he said, I just found out. It was like Jesus was right there with me and He was so close to me and I thought maybe I was going to die, but the Lord was there and He spoke peace to my heart. You can get close to God in a hospital bed. You can get close to God while you're working. You can get close to God in the church. You can get close to God anywhere. But he's in that hospital bed. He can't speak a word. And yet he's trying to draw nigh to God. You know what? God's drawing nigh to him. Listen, if God's far away from you, it's because you're far away from him. Now, we blame a lot of that. No, it's my circumstance. No. You take a step toward God, and he will take a step toward you. If that's not true, the Bible's not true. You draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you now. So how close are you? Lord, I need to stay under your shadow. I want to come to that secret place. I need to come to that place of secret prayer. I need to come to that place of fellowship. And you can come to church and not be close to him. And you can go through the Christian life and not be close to God. But the Bible says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. If you've got a real close relationship with God, whether in the church or out of the church, it'll proceed from your life. It'll be that place of closeness in your heart. No matter what happens, you can have trust and no fear because you know the Lord's with you. The Lord's with me. I'm not going to be afraid. Have you been under his shadow? I remember as a boy, as some of you boys' age, any of you guys 14? How old are you, David? 15. About David's age, I remember just getting in that secret place and trying to abide under that shadow of the Almighty as a little boy. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know all that stuff. But I wanted to get close to God. I can remember getting on my knees night after night trying to talk to God, trying to beg God for help and trying to pray the best I can. And I can just remember so many times in my life where the shadow of the Almighty and the closeness of God was almost like I could reach out and touch it. I can remember times in my ministry it's almost like God's carrying me. Not because I'm some super spiritual person. I'm not very spiritual at all. But I'm telling you, you take a step toward God, he'll take a step toward you. And if you keep taking more steps and more steps and more steps, he'll keep taking more steps towards you. And pretty soon, you'll be close if you keep wanting to draw nigh to him. Are you abiding under that shadow of the Almighty? I'm finished. Would you go to James chapter 1? Church, there's not a problem that you have that wouldn't be helped by getting in the presence of God. I believe that. To be near enough to God to be under the shadow means you're close to him. You're right by his side. You're in his presence. The shadow of God is a place to hide. The shadow of God is a place where you can put your trust. The shadow of God is a place where you can rest and rejoice. The shadow of God is a place of closeness. And in James chapter 1, I love it in verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The last thing about God's shadow, it never turns. It never moves. You can't say that about any shadow in life. The shadows of the sun rise and fall and change and move. All shadows move. If you're in a building and you walk through, that shadow can move. When the lighting is a certain way, it's not there anymore. Shadows are not always in the same place. But the shadow of the Almighty, the presence of God, never moves. Not God. It's always the same. It remains the same. It stays in the same place for you. And his shadow does not turn with society. And his shadow does not turn with your sin. And his shadow does not turn with whatever's going on in the world. His shadow remains constant. And God Almighty stands there and casts his shadow out for his people. And he's always in the same place. And you can always run to him. And it'll always be that way. It doesn't matter. It's always going to be that way. You can count on the fact you can get to God.